It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. Good evening. Welcome to 2RDJ. Welcome to the Gadget Grill.
Yeah, welcome and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your entree for this evening will be... I'm just not prepared for that sort of script.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you look totally lost for words.
Completely lost for words. I'm reading about technology right now because...
Well, there's a concept.
I'm bringing myself up to speed because I've been away from it for like the last day. I've been...
Drunk.
No, I would never do that. Welcome to the Gadget Grill, Sydney's technology radio show on 2RDJ. Tonight we are talking about how to create your own website.
Yes, we are. We're going to go through... some of the stuff that you need to do, to take care of, to build yourself a website, we're going to go into actually how you put stuff on the website?
What do you reckon? I think for the most part we're going to look at CMSs, things like WordPress and whatnot.
Okay.
We're celebrating a day today.
We're celebrating a couple of days today.
What day have you got?
Oh, don't you remember what day I have today?
You've got Clint Eastwood's birthday, haven't you? You're putting a shout out to...
I have got Clint Eastwood's birthday, and if I am really, really lucky,
You're gonna try and milk this for all it's worth because you have nothing to say. You're getting a computer screen ready.
Well, let me just see what I can do. Let's see if I can do this right now.
Come on, you have to actually say something. That wasn't very good. It'd be much easier if you said "make my day" or whatever. You know, that's not very good at all. I mean, you don't have anything better than that. You have Clint Eastwood, and all you can do is pull up a line out of Gran Torino.
Oh, you want something better than that?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah, I want
make my day.
We're still not getting much better than that. Seriously. Oh. Happy birthday to Clint Eastwood. It's also this week was Towel Day. Towel Day, the geek day for Douglas Adams fans, and we'll have some Vogon poetry for you later on the show. We're actually working on it right now. It's not pretty stuff, so as a warning to you, don't listen then.
Don't listen to Vogon poetry. Be afraid.
It's the second
very
worst.
Afraid.
It's the second worst in the universe. So we've got all that.
The worst being mine.
Yeah, so we've got all that coming up tonight, plus a whole bunch of music coming up in the first song. We're playing a brand new song from Eskimo Joe. Their new CD was released 2 days ago, I think. So are you ready to actually play that?
I am indeed.
All right, this is Foreign Land. What the hell? Can you stop that? Oh, Christ. To the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West, featuring Lee and the ridiculously immature father of mine, Gary Stark. If you're listening to this on your radio, we won't be broadcasting in digital tomorrow, but you can still find this on the website at www.radio2rdj.com in pretty good sound there. And if you want to listen to the podcast of this or any of the other shows we've done, or find out about any of the information we're talking to tonight, with the exception of the Vogon poetry coming up, you can log on to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. And here is some of that Vogon poetry for you, for the people who, like myself, forgot to celebrate Douglas Adams' Towel Day. Ready? This is disturbing. See the pretty sky, marvel at its big ugly brown depths. Tell me, Gary, do you wonder why the dad ignores you? Why its foobly stare makes you feel depressed? I can tell you, it is worried by your flumpy grump facial growth that looks like a film. What's more, it knows you masticate potting shed smells of putty. Everything under the big pretty sky asks, why? Why do you even bother? You only charm crabs.
Well, there you go.
There's your Vogon poetry for the day probably for the rest
of
the year.
Be afraid, be very afraid. That's more than enough. What's the most important thing for business travellers when they're at an airport?
Finding the Starbucks.
No.
Oh.
No.
I was pretty sure it was.
No.
Oh.
Well, actually, maybe it is. But they're looking for Wi-Fi internet access, so perhaps they're looking for the Starbucks to get the internet access.
Perhaps so.
But yeah, putting this ahead, putting internet Wi-Fi internet access ahead of basic amenities such as food by nearly 30 percentage points.
Wow. No, people are that desperate to get on the web.
Yeah.
Wow.
Survey was sponsored by HP and conducted online with more than 1,500 frequent travellers who log more than 20 trips a year on three or more airlines.
Well, the GFC is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah. More than 90% of those frequent travellers travelled with a notebook or mobile phone to hand, and 70% say they would use their notebooks in flight if Wi-Fi internet access was available.
Okay. Are you ready for something frivolous?
Oh, never, always.
Completely
always.
Frivolous?
Always.
What is completely needed in a mobile phone these days?
Certainly not phone capability.
Yeah, certainly not. A 12.1 megapixel phone camera is just about to come out. The Sony Ericsson Satio, which is a new GSM and HSDPA handset with a 3.5-inch widescreen display for true, here's the quote, 16:9 movie watching, you know.
So I'm going to get a really good 16:9 experience on my cell phone.
On your 3.5-inch screen. Yeah. 12.1 megapixel on a phone camera. This is getting a little bit ridiculous.
What size is the sensor?
I don't know. It's the same phone size sensor as
fingernail?
You used to. Yeah, fingernail size. Yeah. So it doesn't really make a difference.
No.
But in good news, Nikon set up a 360-degree matrix camera array on the MTV Movie Awards with, I've got the numbers here, 50 D700s. And the idea was so they could do the whole matrix, what's it called again? Full motion. I always forget what it's called. Bullet time.
Yes.
They set up so they could use bullet time freeze frame live with people on the red carpet. I seriously hope they were looking for people to do spills. And
did they do that before or after they fired all their stuff?
I don't know. Because they could have fired 1,000 people or something.
Yeah, did they do that before or after they went? No, it was before they went for the award because they're going to get some awards this week.
Must have been. It's happening right now, technically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What have you got?
Okay. The Australian government has started a consultation process on its process to make provision.
Wait. The Australian government has started a consultation process on its process.
On its proposal.
Oh, right.
To make provision of fibre to the home mandatory in all new greenfield residential developments from 1st of July next year. Yes and no. What they're talking about is that with the new national broadband network.
The thing that should happen by 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any
which
new,
will be outdated by then.
In any new housing development, so this is out west and so on, as well as putting in the phone lines and all that, and the electricity, the power lines that they put in, also put in the fibre to the home as part of the infrastructure development.
I'm all for it, but most of us probably are aware that the NBN's going to take ages for it to actually start up in most places.
Well, one of the things is that in a survey in America, they found that a direct fibre connection adds more than $5,000 to the value of the house.
Whoa, that's kind of cool.
So, you know, this is something that people want. In a related story, the federal opposition is wanting to put this story down and say how expensive it's going to be. But I would say, Malcolm, you're on the wrong horse with that one, because people do want to have good connectivity. And I think people are prepared to pay for it, and I don't think that fibre to the home is going to be all that expensive anyway.
The Electronic Entertainment Expo is this week in America. A lot of journalists in Australia are flying out for it. So basically, every piece of video game information for the next year is coming out this week for a few days, including Sony's new PlayStation Portable, which people got to find out about today with information leaking early on the new PSP Go, which looks hideously uncomfortable to use. It's basically a small version of the PlayStation that with a larger screen that you can kind of pull out. They're getting rid of their UMD, which is bastardized mini disc format, and putting in 16 gig of storage built into it with a memory stick micro 2, whatever the hell it's called.
Whatever the latest incarnation of it is.
Interestingly, they're
stupid.
Okay, well, interestingly, they're keeping the PSP, the one with mini disc, in there, or with UMD, the Universal Mini Disc System. It makes you wonder, how they're going to separate the two systems. Do you buy your games on memory card, or do you buy your games on UMD? It's probably an unwise decision, but we'll find out more about it this week.
I think we just buy them on CD for the Xbox.
DVD for the Xbox. You don't even use it in Xbox or a Wii, so what the hell are you talking about?
All that I'm saying is that whatever Sony are doing is probably...
An extra format's unnecessary. Well, I think they're going to go for a download option for most of their things, which at least is intelligent.
Yes. New research findings have revealed that Google's YouTube and Blogspot community-driven security tools are 65 to 75% ineffective in protecting web users from objectionable content and security risks, according to a claim by web security vendor WebSense.
Right.
They've reviewed more than 60,000 YouTube pages. I'd hate to do that.
Mm.
And more than 250,000 blogs on Blogspot using an automated web crawler, looking for known adult keywords, as well as sampling known Blogspot domains to observe their status. Ugly stuff.
I've got
65 to 75% ineffective. That is bad.
I've got even uglier for you. The president of Canon Electronics, a guy named Hisashi Sakamaki, he's creating a book to try and tell people to do things like his company. For instance, at Canon, you're not allowed to sit down while you work. He says that standing saves money and increases productivity, as well as employee relationships. But it gets better.
Especially for those people who are...
Who need to sit down, exactly. Yes. Yeah, it gets better. If an employee walks slower than 5 meters every 3.6 seconds down a hallway, an alarm goes off with flashing lights. It reminds the worker that he's basically an inefficient waste
Canon.
Of time. This is at Canon in Japan, yeah.
Big Brother is watching.
Yeah, basically. Big Brother is also going to be watching a new company in California. Quo Computers, just like Status Quo, are doing what the failed Mac clone maker Systar, who recently went bankrupt, are doing, or did. They're creating a retail store to sell Mac clones, which I'm sure Apple will be only so proud about. You can just see the lawsuits being created on that one.
I just received an email that said that my account at Commonwealth Bank has been terminated.
Wow.
I think we should tell everybody that there's a lot of scams going around at the moment featuring the Commonwealth Bank. If you think you've gotten an email from the Commonwealth Bank, ignore it. You probably haven't. It's going to get you into trouble if you do anything with it other than delete it.
There's also been a lot of spam on Gmail lately. It's getting through.
Yes,
yeah,
I know.
No, information's getting through. Interestingly, what also is getting through, do you like my segues tonight? I'm doing really well with my segues, I thought. Palm Pre, the interesting Palm Pre that comes out this week in America, June 6th.
Yes.
It's going to sync directly with iTunes, which is an interesting thing. There's an expectation that Apple will probably close up that hole the moment they realize it, because that would essentially, with the Palm Pre syncing with it, start to steal some competition, or start to make some really heavy competition for the iPod and iTunes.
I'd be interested to see how they've implemented DRM on that.
Well, the only thing you can't do is you can't transfer DRM songs over, but you can still sync MP3s using iTunes, which is interesting nonetheless, because no one's gotten it to work properly.
There's been a steady rise in mobile content consumption on social networks, with mobile content services in the Asia-Pacific region grossing US$29.1 billion for vendors last year and significant growth forecast for the next 4 years. That's interesting, isn't it?
Everybody is
spending all their time on Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and everything, and one of the phones that we picked up this week for review is specifically targeted at the youth market, of course, a Facebook fan.
Is it any surprise, though? Social networking has actually taken a huge leap. Australian journalists are actually among the largest amount of people in the world using it as a means of their own journalism. There's an article published on that just today. One final news story. Microsoft looks set to launch a new search engine. Is it this week? Coming up this week.
Bing!
I still think that they should launch butter.bing.com.au, which lets you go to any random website on the web.
Yes.
Butter-bing! But Bing is... It's based off what? A decision engine, which is not quite from what Google uses.
I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not so sure.
I'm glad you're still filled with useless jokes, Dad.
Yes.
I'd worried what had happened, because you hadn't made that many tonight.
We'll catch
up. Just getting your game on. Regardless of that, Bing is set to launch this week, so try it. I can't imagine it, to be honest, being better than Google or Wolfram Alpha, to be honest.
No, I certainly can't see it being...
I liked Live Search and some of the things it could do, but it wasn't as good as what they said it was, and I'm a little bit worried about Microsoft saying, hey, Bing, it's the new Bing.
Yeah. I'm just, I think it's going to be about as good as every other version 1 Microsoft product.
Hey, Windows 7's pretty good in beta.
Version 1. Windows 7.
Windows 7 beta is version 1 of Windows 7.
Windows 7 is Vista.
It's not. It's a little bit different. And what's a lot different from this is the music we're trying to get to. This is Charlotte Martin with Root. Do you want to actually turn me off the mic this time?
Yeah. Theme is trivia. Go. Who's running a trivia night?
2RDJ.
When is it?
Tuesday, June 16.
What can you win?
Great prizes.
What time?
7:30 p.m.
Where will it be held?
Burwood RSL Club, Shaftesbury Road, Burwood.
Who can go?
Anyone and everyone, even you.
Should I make a booking?
Good idea. Call the club on 9744 7444 to make your booking.
Can I come on my own?
Yeah. Or if you come in a group, why not bring friends? The more the merrier.
What's it cost?
Just $5. What's the capital of Canberra?
$3.
No.
Australia?
No.
The bottom of Lake Burley Griffin?
No, I'm sorry, you lose. But if you'd like to find out more information about the 2RDJ Trivia Night, check our webpage at www.radio2rdj.com or send an email to info@radio2rdj.com. To make your booking, call the club on 9744 7444.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. And if you didn't just hear, 2RDJ is hosting a trivia competition, isn't that right?
It is indeed. Tuesday, June the 16th at the Burwood Rissole.
You can win some great prizes.
You can win some great prizes. You can come and meet the hosts of the Gadget Grill and a lot of other 2RDJ.
Wait, you're saying I'm going to be there?
Yes.
What? I don't get a choice about this?
Oh, you get a choice.
Well, I can either come or I can come.
Yeah.
That's pretty mean.
Oh, you can come or you can not come.
I might come.
Anyway. It's going to be a fun night. You get to meet all of your favourite 2RDJ personalities.
Yeah. Is Andrew going to be there?
Andrew's going to be there.
He's one of my favourite 2RDJ personalities. I believe Andrew's going to be there. Yeah.
Colin, I believe, is going to be there. And Peter's going to be there.
Oh, cool.
So, I'm sure Jason's going to be there.
Cool, yeah.
Jason may not be because Jason may be overseas still.
Oh, how terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got our feature, which is how to create a web presence for yourself, basically. And we can do this in simple ways. I mean, obviously, the first thing is to ask yourself, do you have some web space?
Why would you want to have web space, first of all?
You want to establish a web presence for yourself. It's probably a needed thing to have some web space of sorts. And you don't actually need web space. You can actually, if you have a Gmail account or a Google account, you're probably aware that you can use YouTube for uploading videos. You can also use their blog service they have.
Okay. And, of course, if you're on the internet, then your internet provider usually provides you with a certain amount of space that you can use for your web page as well.
That's true. And just as a note, if you're using Internode or IINet, you've got options for you. If you use the Google service for your Gmail, you have blogger.com already has a blogging service for you. And actually, we're going to look at blogging right now because blogging is probably the most, or at least blog engines are the easiest way to set up a web presence for yourself. Because once you've found out you've got a bit of space and you can run a script on them, a lot of these web services will allow you to set up a blog using engines like WordPress. WordPress is a very easy to use, what we call a content management system. We're going to refer to this by CMS, the acronym that it's most commonly called.
So CMS is a TLA.
And CMS is a three-letter acronym, that is very correct.
Very good.
And a CMS is a system that lets you manage information from a back-end. So it's similar to like having an operating system for all your web content. So you can upload news, posts, images, multimedia, all sorts of things.
Basically anything that you like, provided, of course, it is legal. Do not go...
You can upload illegal things.
You can upload, yeah.
But your service won't like you all that much.
Well, that's right. Most ISPs, most service providers have conditions in place that say if you're going to upload content that is illegal and illegal... probably relates mostly these days to stuff for which you do not hold the copyright for.
That is correct. The copyright laws usually basically say, if this is mine and I'm aware of it, you're screwed.
Yeah, and then that's reasonable.
That's pretty fair.
That's reasonable.
That said, a lot of people pass a blind eye to it because when you put an image up on a website, it's basically free advertising for a lot of them, and a lot of blogs get away with that.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting that any person listening to this show would ever do that, but it's very common. Most blogs out there use images just as a means of making the content look better, and companies very rarely care. I think there's even a free version of a few of the image libraries out there for
That's
people
right.
to use on their blogs. I'm not quite sure which it is. I think it's one of the Getty ones.
Okay, yeah. Getty's got some good images, of course.
In any case, once you have your space available, installing one of these CMSs is pretty easy. A lot of these services will have them so you can install them for you, but in a lot of these cases, you will need a MySQL database,
and
or access to one.
Or access to one, yes. That may be a bit of a problem for some people, of course, because not all ISPs provide that as part of a standard hosting package.
That's true. But an easy way around that is to log on to somewhere like GoDaddy or any other hosting service and just grab a domain name and a small package linking to it. Downside of something like that is advertising is usually sometimes needed on
yes.
those pages. You can't get around it. Or you can do what I just did, which is Google free web space. That comes up with quite a few options.
So there you go. Google free web space. That'll give you web space, probably with some advertising on it.
Yep, but you know, it's free web space. You don't have to pay for it. A lot of us pay anywhere between $20 a month or $10 a month to...
even less.
Yeah, you can pay less.
$35 US a year can get you some reasonably good hosting services.
So that's just an option. Once you have that, installing a CMS is pretty basic, and then customizing it is even more easy. I use WordPress myself, and we use WordPress for most of the functions we have here, but to give you an option, there are loads of other services. There's Joomla, Drupal, Serendipity, hundreds of these things available on the web.
You could use something like PHPBB if you want to start your own discussion
right.
forum and have people have a healthy area for discussion, a bulletin board type thing. Or you could even go to native HTML.
Or you can even start your own wiki.
Wikis are very good.
The concept of starting your own web page doesn't have to be personal. It can be news-based. You can feed from an RSS. And it's all very basic. We'll provide a few links on the website later on where you can get started. I suggest WordPress as a beginner's option because there are loads of templates available for free, and customizing is a relatively easy process with color changing. But if you don't like that, there are lots of solutions you can actually pay for
yeah.
$20 a year. You can get a whole bunch of different template solutions that will let you basically do some cool stuff.
Excellent.
But yeah, it's not hard. You would probably say that I think my mum might be able to do it.
I would say your mum would be able to do it, and your mum is definitely, without wanting to upset or cast aspersions on anybody, your mum is not the most computer literate person around.
No, she's not. And she could do it. Anyone can really do it. Starting a web presence for yourself is easy, or there's an even easier solution. Start a Twitter feed, because a Twitter feed is a microblog.
Or there's an even easier solution. Get the next door neighbour's 10-year-old kid. They'll be able to set it up for you in no
there's
time.
There's that too. Have we got music next?
We've got Joshua Redman, from what I can see.
With Home Fries. Radio 2RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill, also available on the web at www.gadgetgrill.com.au and available at 2RDJ if you want to listen to us on the web at www.radio2rdj.com. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark.
And right now we're talking about some future of technology this week.
The future of radio, in fact.
In this case, yes. We got to attend the launch of Pure Radio, who are launching a device called the... Well, it's basically they're launching digital radios, aren't they?
Yeah, digital radio starts in Sydney this week. I'm a little bit confused because this is the future of radio. We're talking about...
This is the future. This is everything that we're doing now.
This is the future. But the digital radio broadcasting started last week in Queensland. That's confused me.
I don't know. I'm sure. I think some Queenslanders are okay.
I'm not talking about Queensland. I'm talking about Queensland, where it's 10 years behind.
Digital radio, it doesn't quite operate the same thing as everything else does. It instead is like it's data-based. And a few places have already started broadcasting. We've been testing this. Nova are broadcasting not very well at the moment. 2GB are broadcasting probably the best. It's incredibly clean, the signal you get from it. I guess the problem is the rollout. No one actually quite knows how it's going to be doled out, do we?
It's going to be slow and it's going to be painful, I think.
I think it will be.
And what it means is that at some point in the future, your current car radio is not going to work. Your current mantle radio is not going to work.
It's much like digital TV in that way,
isn't it? It is, yes.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
Why do we need this, though?
Well, it makes AM radio sound so clean.
That's not the question I asked you.
It makes... music sound near CD quality.
That's not the question I asked you.
It gives you a reason to spend $400 more on a radio.
When you could go down to Kmart and
buy
one for $20.
Radio. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what the relevance is, but it does make radio sound better. We'll be testing it this week. Unfortunately, we can't test it with 2RDJ because 2RDJ sends out in an analog signal.
That's right.
And the amount of infrastructure I imagine we'd need to do
that. Mind you, Peter did come in earlier and he did give us a digital signal.
Yeah, he did. Not the right sort, though. And we're also going to look quickly at the future. Oh, it's another phone, isn't it?
It's a phone. The HTC Magic. It is the newest incarnation of the Google Android operating system. I've got to say though that your friend at SMH, Asher, he said that this is replacing the HTC Dream. It is not.
No, it's not replacing HTC Dream. It's an addendum to it. It's another available
phone.
It's going
to sit alongside it.
It's quite nice, actually. It feels good in the hand.
That's always important.
I mean, it is, isn't it, being a phone. I'm going to have another play of it later on this week, obviously. GPS seems to be more reliable. We were
playing with the GPS
well.
On the way here, and it certainly seemed okay.
I'm a bit concerned about one of the features, though. It comes with Latitude, which is a new technology.
This
Google.
Is interesting technology. Tell us what it is.
Okay, Latitude is basically people tracking. So the idea is that you give your friends access to your location.
And it is permission-based.
It's
people
permission-based,
can't just
right? You can't just
this.
Log on and find so-and-so. So you, it's not so if you thought about stalking your girlfriend this way, or your ex-girlfriend like this, as long as she's removed you from her list, won't work. But basically the idea is you keep a GPS with you in the phone at all times, and wherever you go, it tracks you with a nice icon on the map, which is kind of cool.
Provided they're in relative...
That's right, but there's a downside to this. I'm half expecting that because the battery is required by the GPS to be, so demanding, it's just going to be always on and always consuming.
But I can see a good use for the Latitude application because you can buy one of these phones for your kids.
Mm.
And, of course, your kids can just keep it in their school bag while they're at school and on the way home to school, whatever.
Are you saying people should be able to track their kids' locations?
When we're talking about very young kids, yes.
You're going to buy your very young kid a $900 phone?
Well, that was the next point.
I mean, that's an expensive phone.
That was going to be my next point.
Okay. No, it seems okay. We're going to give it a good test run here this week to see what we actually think of it.
The other phone that we've got here is the little 3 mobile
Ink
phone.
Ink. It's one of them.
Ink.
It's a social networking phone.
It is a social networking phone. Gives you 4,000 minutes of Skype.
That is better for kids.
Yeah.
That's a lot better.
But it doesn't have the GPS facility in it, so you can't...
Yeah, but you can still bounce signals.
Yeah, you can.
You can bounce signals.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are some cool technologies. We'll have more about them next week.
Yeah, we're giving all these. We've got a lot.
No, we're
of this.
Not. We're not giving it away.
No. I'm saying we're going to give. No, we're giving them a run.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we're giving away. Phew, thank God.
No,
that would have been insane.
No, I've tried to give you away, but that didn't help.
No. I'm not worth much. Well, not to you anyway.
No.
Right now we've got BB King, a very young BB King, with the 3 o'clock blues.
Now here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning. Can't even close my
eyes. 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the NOS. This is the Gadget Grill with Lee Stark and Gary Stark over there operating the controls. Speaking now!
Yes, occasionally operating the controls correctly.
Yeah, sometimes he does. Next week, we're talking about eSecurity Week. The government are working, they did this last year. I'm not sure what year, what edition this is of it. We'll find out probably next week. But this is a security episode to try and help you stay secure with things like Twitter and Facebook, the always problematic side of social networking security, other things.
I was off my Facebook the other day.
Wow. Your jokes continually get bad. Hopefully we'll get someone in to fix that side of him as well. That would be nice. And we'll have our wrap-up on the digital radio. Tell you how good it is, if it's actually worth spending $400 on or so. My guess...
I know one thing that is going to be for sure.
What?
That doesn't matter what sort of radio you got, you're still going to have to put up with the content.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is a... But you do get to rewind audio now.
So you can listen to the really bad content
again
and again and again.
Exactly.
That's
right. So you can listen to this show again and again. Well, not on digital. You can just listen to us on podcast at
www.catchagrill.com.au. And you can listen to us again and again and again.
That's right. We've got right now, as a sort of like a lead-in to one of our favourite presenters, Mr. Colin...
Richardson.
One of our favourite presenters I can never remember the last name of. He'll probably come in and kick my ass in a second. Mr. Colin Richardson.
I don't think he's arrived yet.
I hope he's here soon.
Colin is always here on time unless he's late.
Well, we have heading into his show, which is a classical show, the Jacques Lussier Trio, Variation 10 on Beethoven's Allegretto from Symphony No. 7. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. We'll be back in the Gadget Grill at 9
I never get
o'clock.
To do that. We'll be back.
You can do that.
We'll be back in the Gadget Grill at 9 o'clock next week on Sunday. Oh, you finish it.
We'll be back in the Gadget Grill next Sunday night. 2RDJ FM 88.1, 9 p.m. It's good night from him.
And me, yep.
Yeah.
Have a good week, Australia.